There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. And we're all in the same boat on that matter, unless God Almighty give us grace and eyes to see. We'll remain in darkness. And then he says, then in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? People want a sign, don't they? That's the big thing about religion. Show us a sign. Show us a miracle. Show us some wonderful work. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, verse 31, and it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am. That's his name. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now this is the first thing that I've had you consider with me this morning. All believers, all the elect of God, shall come to Christ for salvation of the Lord. Our Lord does not say in this verse that all the world will come to me. Does he say that? Allow me just to make a few comments here. If our Lord and Savior died for every man and woman in the world throughout all time, then every man and woman that ever lived will be saved.
Yeah.
Is there any, I ask you, that will perish for whom Christ died? Thank God that you can shake your head on that. God revealed that to you. You see, to say that Christ died for all and that all are not saved is to say that somewhere and somehow along the way, God failed. To say that some for whom Christ died will perish is to say that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not effectual. It wasn't fruitful. It wasn't effective, is what that means. And it wasn't enough to appease God Almighty in the justifying of a sinner. Now there's something bad wrong with that way of thinking. And it's definitely not according to the Scriptures, is it? First and foremost, it's dishonoring to the one who's worthy of all honor. It makes Christ's precious blood dependent upon something or someone else. Religious man will tell you that that something else is the free will of man. For men exercise their will somehow, some way, and God is obligated to accept it. I know this much. If your will is to come to God, it's because God made you willing in the name of His power. God made you willing. And I declare to you, dear friends, with no reservation and with all seriousness, that to preach the will of man in salvation is a blasphemous thing.
Yeah.
You will not come that you might have life. Our Lord said, your will is not to come. And thousands of so-called preachers in this world will tell you that, tell sinners that salvation is somehow and some way dependent on them, dependent on you. say, give your heart to Jesus. Let me tell you something. He doesn't want you to do that. He takes out that heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh that beats and pants after him. God does that. That's God's doing. Who maketh thee to differ from another? The apostle wrote. Who does? God does. What do you have that you did not receive? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? What do you have that you've not received? And if you received it, how do you glory in it? As if you had not received it. In this message of the gospel, God gets all the glory. Every bit of it. We don't get it. We don't want any. We're glad that he gets all the glory. Now, if you buy something, dear friends, you purchased it. If you earn something, you worked for it. If you deserve something, then somehow you merited it. But when you receive something, man, it's a gift. It's a free gift. I think of our God Almighty's words in Isaiah chapter 48. I won't have you turn there, but let me just read the verses to you. Our Lord, through the prophet, says, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger. For whose sake? For mine, the Lord's. And for my praise will I refrain for thee. The only reason that we don't experience the judgment of God right now is the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we deserve. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. What? Give grace and mercy. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. And I'll say again with no reservation to preach man's will in the salvation of a sinner is to pollute God's name. Now, if a man saves himself, then he gets the glory. But God will not give his glory to another. So we're saved for Christ's sake. And he is our salvation. Now, I could go on and on, but my intention is not to tell you what the gospel is. My desire is to show you from the scriptures what the gospel is, and more importantly, who the gospel is. Now look again at verse 37. It does not say, all the world shall come to me. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And can we not see again there, dear friends, that salvation is a gift from God? All those who come to Christ are given to Christ by the Father. Salvation is not by chance. It's by purpose. It's by the purpose of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How many times in Scripture do we read, I will, they shall. I will, they shall. That's the way God does things. It's a certainty. And where do men find the will of the sinner? In that passage of Scripture. That statement was made by our Lord Jesus Himself. He who is God in the flesh. Now, we're either going to believe man or we're going to believe God. Which is it? Yeah, but brother, didn't Christ say in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? That's exactly what he said. But he also said in John 17, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, I must ask, would Christ not pray for those in the world that God loved? Well, there's some reasons that God loved the world. God loved the world because His elect, His people, were in the world. His people that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. besides those chosen out of the Jewish nation, he also loved and chose some Gentiles, which were often referred to as the world in Scripture. But I ask you, in John 3:16, and most everyone knows that passage by heart, does it say anywhere that Christ said God loved every man and woman in the world? Anywhere does it say that? He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I have no trouble with the whosoever wills of Scripture. Whosoever will. Some will believe and some will not. Whosoever will. I believe the Bible's clear that whosoever will is whosoever God wills. Whosoever God wills shall come to him. Now, redemption is not coming to religion. It's not coming to church. It's not coming to the preacher. It's not coming to the front of the church. I'm still trying to figure out when men got that one. It's not coming to the front of the church. And as I said last night, it's not even coming to the doctrines of grace. It's coming to Christ. And it's a certain and sure thing that when God gives all his elect to Christ, they will come to him. They will. All that the Father gives shall come to him. Now the second thing, I've got it written down as once saved, always saved. That's a big issue. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. That was something that people fight about. Once saved, always saved. Well, let me tell you this. All that come to Christ will be received and saved forever. They shall not be cast out. Is that not what our Lord said? I will in no wise cast them out. The phrase in no wise cast out, it comes from a word called ume, which means never cast them out. I will certainly not cast them out. Not at all, and by no means will I cast them out. Oh, isn't that a... Someone asked Brother Mahan one time, I think I may have even said this when I was here before. He said, do you believe once saved, always saved? He said, depends on who saved you. Did God save you? Then absolutely. If you saved yourself, you got reason to worry. No chance of being cast out if God saved you. God's greater than all. No man can pluck us from his hand. Friends, God has never wanted to do anything. There's a popular TV evangelist in Houston. I won't mention any names. Joel Osteen. His big thing is God wants you to live a victorious life. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to smile every minute of every day. God has never wanted to do anything. Never wanted to do anything. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. Our God's in the heavens. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. In heaven and earth, below the earth, and all deep places. God's never wanted. I just shiver and shudder every time I hear God wants. Those two words do not go together. Do not go together. Once saved, always saved. Third thing is, salvation is by God the Father's will. Look at verse 38. Our Lord says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which, what? Seeth the Son and believeth on him, Brother Don, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, God's will always come to pass. God's will always come to pass. The first indication of this is found in the last words of verse 38. He said, "For I came down from heaven." He came down that we might be risen up. The one who saves us, dear friends, and keeps us is none other than God Himself. He said, "I came down from heaven." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides thee." The blind songwriter, Fanny Crosby, one of my favorites. "Pass me not." Some of the words of that song. "Thou the spring of all my comfort." All our comfort springs from thee. "More than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? And whom in heaven but thee?" Friends, our Lord's will was to do the will of God who sent him. What was the Father's will? It's written here, right here for us in these verses. This is the will of God Almighty. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do for sinners what they could not and would not do for themselves. This is God's will. Look at verse 40 again. "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which what? Seeth the Son." Seeth the Son. "And believes on Him may have everlasting life." Do you see Christ? Do you believe on Him? Well, you must believe on Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that what our Lord told that lady at the well? He said, "The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers." Now, I won't be a true worshiper. I don't want to be a false worshiper. I want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the only way He can be. For He said, "True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To worship Him in spirit and truth is to worship, love, and adore Him according as the Holy Spirit has revealed Him in the Scriptures. Let me ask, and I don't mean to harp on this, I really don't, but can any man truly worship a trying, begging, pleading, "Won't you let me do something?" say? Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? Can you worship a Savior like that? That's not the God and the Christ of the Bible. And that's not to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But one day the prideful Pharisees were in the presence of John the Baptist. And I could just hear them. They were bragging about being the children of Abraham. The children of Abraham. And old John, he's a little rough around the edges, wasn't he? But he told the truth. And he said, "God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham." I can see him point down to some stones. And God's able, he said, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, does that sound like God needs our help? Salvation's according to the will and purpose of God. Let me tell you something. When God saved me, that's exactly what He did. He raised up a stone. Just an old, dead, inanimate object with no life in it. Dead in trespasses and sin. God raised me up by His grace. Showed me Christ. Showed me my need of Him. Fourth thing. The murmuring, I call it the murmuring of the self-righteous. And it just seems to me that self-righteous men will always murmur against truth. And you know why? It strips them of their glory. Look at verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look at verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Friends, Christ is God's bread that came down from heaven. Look down at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now they're sitting there saying, how can he say he came down from heaven? We know his mother and his father. Rabbi Joe, he remembers when he was just a boy. Dr. Duguid remembers when he worked in the carpenter shop. Reverend Lawman over here, he's seen him converse and eat with publicans and sinners. How can he say he came from heaven? Our Lord just plainly said in verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. I thought about that a lot. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, don't need to murmur. Don't need to murmur among yourself. Only my sheep hear my voice. John chapter 2. Let's look at that real quick. Verse 24. John chapter 2. Verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, and I find this amazing, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Why, how many times has he already said, I am the bread that came down from heaven? And here they come, how long are you going to make us doubt? Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Seemed to me like he told them pretty plainly. I am the bread of life. What else is that saying? He said in verse 25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you believe not. Why didn't they believe? Look at those next words. Because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, what? They hear my voice. They hear it. And I know them. And they follow me. Oh, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They follow me. I know them. That's the key thing right there is he knows them. Fifth thing. Man has no ability to come. No ability to come. Verse 44 back in our text, John 6. No man can come to me. That would be a sad way to end that verse if it ended that way. No man can come to me. Where then is our hope? The next word, except. Unless. The Father which has sent me, draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Natural man, unregenerate man, cannot receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. No man can come, our Lord says. Mere natural, unregenerate men do not have the ability to come. Now, you've heard this illustration many times. Actually happened to me once in grade school and embarrassed me to death. But I raised my hand and said, teacher, can I go to the bathroom? And, you know, anticipating the answer to be yes, I stood up and started walking. And she said, you can, but you may not. And that's exactly what this means. We don't have. She said, "You have the ability to go, but you don't have permission." No man can. We don't have the ability to come to Christ, except. Oh, don't you love that part? Except the Father. Right there is where our hope is. That's where my hope is. Except the Father. You remember when the Father brought you? Oh. Except God. You're dead in trespasses. See, you can't walk. You can't ask. You can't raise your hand. You're dead. Except the Father, which sent me to draw him. Except it were given unto him and my Father. Verse 66. We read a minute ago. Excuse me, and I ask the question again. Who maketh me to differ? Who made you to differ from another? You hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And in times past, dear friends, every one of us, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And among, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now there, you and I are. What must happen now? Verse 4 of Ephesians 2, that beautiful passage of Scripture says, but God, except the Father, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. We've been doing a study in 1 John there at the church in New Caney, and we ran across chapter 3 and started to... What John say? He, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he referred to himself. He didn't say John. He named one worth mentioning. He just said the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe John never got over the fact that Christ loved him. He said, I see how he loved Peter. I know how he must love Matthew. But me, the disciple. Jesus loved. And in verse 3, it just seems like John just burst out in his letter. He says, behold, what manner of love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we are.
Amen.
We are. My last thing. Verse 45, all those taught of God, dear friends, will hear God and they'll learn of the Father. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all. Who's the all there? All that the Father giveth me. Not all the world, all that the Father giveth me. They shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. What? Cometh unto. Every man and woman that God gave Christ before the foundation of the world shall come to Him. He said, I won't lose nothing. All that you gave me. But I thought you said they don't have the ability. They don't. No man can come. But by the divine purpose and sovereign will of God, He made us alive. He quickened us when we were dead. We were taught of God. Taught of God. Last night, Brother Don's man, I learned so much. Was it Brother Don teaching? He was the means. God was the cause. Taught of God. Learned of the Father. That's our only hope, isn't it? That's our only hope. Friends, He's quickened us. He's made us alive. He's called us by His grace. And we've learned of the Father. And we come to Christ. We don't come to the front. We don't come to the preacher. We come to Him. We come without moving a muscle. Come right. You can come to Christ right where you sit. You don't have to move. It's not an emotion. That's the gospel. As simple as I know how to preach it. And I'm reminded of the words in Hebrews 3:15, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, if God calls you to hear His voice, harden not your heart.